It's the place where today's trending stories meet common sense and intelligent insight.
Kind of a, what I feel like is a pretty balanced perspective.
And a few laughs along the way.
I like knowing things.
This is the Angie Austin and Mike Opelka Show.
Angie Austin and Mike Opelka on this Friday. We have a lot to talk about. Harvey Weinstein surrendering. Another well-known name in Hollywood in the headlines due to the possibility of sexually harassing numerous women, a name we have not heard in this vein before. And then we've got some of the political headlines to talk about as well. And North Korea, you know, reacting to Trump's decision to pull out of the summit. A lot to cover this morning, Mike Opelka, my co-host extraordinaire.
Thank you. There's a lot to cover, and I'm staring at the Harvey Weinstein videos. He was walking into the police precinct in his neighborhood, and I'm fascinated by people that bring books to the arraignment because they know they're not going to be there that long. They've already made a deal. Everything's already laid out. Here's what's going to happen, Harvey. You're going to go in. They're going to take your mugshot and fingerprint. You're going to sign some forms, a judge will say, remanded to custody, or we're going to give you bail. And he's obviously going to get bail. So why are you bringing books? He's making a statement. And the book that he's carrying, the blue book that he's carrying, to the best of my ability, and I've been doing like the super zoom in on the books here, it looks like he's carrying Something Wonderful, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Broadway Revolution. Now, that seems like kind of weird, right? To bring a book about Broadway musicals to your arrest. They wrote a musical that addresses domestic violence.
Interesting.
So this, I got a feeling this all has a reason. All of this stuff is always planned, but that's my weird obsession today.
Well, dozens of women, you know, have made allegations against him. But the New York Times report says that he's facing charges stemming from the allegations of two women, and he's expected to be granted bail and ordered to wear an ankle monitor in the precursor to, you know, what will happen in the courtroom. Also, Morgan Freeman in the news this morning. And there were several extremely creepy allegations coming from women. And it just blows my mind, Mike. When this starts, this cavalcade of accusations, it's like one person has the courage to come forward, and then all the other women literally come out of the woodwork. And like, he did this. One woman says he repeatedly was lifting her skirt. Another woman who was pregnant said he made really inappropriate comments to her. And they were caught on tape in one case. And then another well-known actor told him to stop, according to one woman. That you know, another actor on the set said, stop, knock it off, Morgan.
Yeah, this is going to be going on for a while. It's just page one on this one. And now there's an opportunity. There's an opening for a new voice of God in all films and voiceovers.
Yeah, because it's hard to have the voice of God be asking a woman to lift up her skirt. Like, he can't. Like, he kind of ruined, like, his gigs from here on out. Like, even if he is cleared, his name is still going to be associated with all of us. And we don't know how far these allegations will go. Right now, it sounds like sexual harassment, but we don't know what the coming days will bring. So Hollywood names really in the headlines today. David of the Snack Bar is joining us to talk more about Hollywood. But in this case, it's for a good reason, Mike. It's about the new movie out today. And this is about Solo is the movie?
Right. It's called Solo, A Star Wars Story. So it's how Han became the Han Solo that we know him as. It's really much better than I thought it would be. I mean, it's Star Wars, so, I mean, well, it could be bad, but it's actually really good. He meets Lando Calrissian and how he teams up with Chewbacca for the first time, shows how he gets the Millennium Falcon. The cast is terrific. Alden Ehrenreich does a good job. I mean, he's not Harrison Ford, but he's a legitimate knockoff. And Emilia Clarke is in it, Woody Harrelson. And it's just really, really well done. There's a lot of action. There's just the humor. He's got the cockiness. I mean, if you're a Star Wars fan and you want to see how it all began, this one goes back even much further than Rogue One. I mean, it's years before there's a rebellion. And it is, like I said, it's fun. It's exciting. It's got a lot of action. And I loved it.
Well, David, we've got like less than a minute here. Does he go to a shelter and adopt a young Chewbacca? Is that how they get together?
No, Chewbacca's already 190 years old when they meet.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, a good friend of ours who's a sci-fi buff said that this was more like a hug to Star Wars fans. It wasn't the blockbuster, but it felt good.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. It's not Rogue One. It's not one of the ones in the series, but it's really, really well done. And Star Wars fans will find it warm and exciting. And I agree. It's definitely a hug to Star Wars fans. But it's also one that if you'd never seen a single Star Wars movie, you could start with this one and you'd say, hey, this might be worth watching, and watch the rest of them.
All right, David of Snack Bar. Thank you, David. All right, we're going to talk about a second grader's letter. It goes viral. The one invention he wishes was never invented. Oh, goodness gracious me, oh my. We've got to talk about Pompeo because he went off the hook. We've got to talk about kneeling and how kneeling and the NFL, this has become a big topic that Mike says neither side truly understands. And then Morgan Freeman facing sexual harassment and maybe more allegations where these are just starting to reveal themselves. And then Harvey Weinstein, you said people are lining up right now waiting for his perp walk.
Yeah, this is one of those things about New York that I kind of miss. I don't miss the stench in the summer, the crowds, the high prices, the madness, all that. But the way New York gathers for dumb things like this, and it's not dumb that a criminal is going to go get arrested. It's just that we're making an event out of Harvey Weinstein turning himself in. So there is a crowd gathered outside of his apartment, and there'll be a crowd gathered down at police headquarters, and they have live news cameras at both sites. So we can see Harvey leaving his apartment, and then we can see Harvey being walked into the police downtown police headquarters, One Police Plaza, with his attorneys. And then later we'll get his mugshot. It's just craziness.
So this disgraced movie mogul whose world has crumbled in the last year, whose abuse of power was finally, a big spotlight was shown on it, showing up at a lower Manhattan police precinct. So as you mentioned, not only are they waiting in front of the cop shop, but they're also waiting in front of his apartment. Yeah. I read an interview with his ex-wife-to-be, and it was just very revealing. And his children, of course, I have such sympathy for, but also his victims. It's mind-blowing to me that people like the Bill Cosbys, the Harvey Weinsteins, and now possibly the Morgan Freemans of the world have so much power and so much influence and so much full of themselfness that they can get away with things like this for years. But finally, like justice is around the corner. It may be around several corners and it may take a while for you to reach it, but it's coming. And the fact that people like Cosby and Weinstein are going down, it's a positive sign to me because these guys just thought that they were untouchable and above the law because they were loaded.
Yeah, money does strange things to people. And sometimes it's a real test of our character when we get money, to see what we do with it. It's remarkable to watch. We are watching history unfold in front of us and add eventually Morgan Freeman to this, as that investigation has really just started. I think we're on day one of a very long process. I heard several of the awards groups who have given Morgan Freeman awards over the years are now thinking about taking them back.
Already, you know, back in the day, Mike, they'd be like, oh, he needs his due process and, you know, innocent till proven guilty. Now people are so sensitive to this topic that, you know, it took ages for Bill Cosby, I almost said Clinton. It took ages for Bill Cosby to be relieved of many of those honorary degrees he received, like years after allegations came forward, you know.
Years. Well, look at what's his noodle, the director.
I'll never forget him.
Town. I'll never forget what's his name.
I love him and his work.
You know,
Polanski.
Roman Polanski. 41 years it took the Academy before they kicked him out.
Unbelievable. Like, and now look at Morgan Freeman. The first day we're hearing about many of these allegations, and they're already thinking about taking away things. You know, you mentioned money, Mike, and it made me think about, you know, what money and fame does to you. And I think back to that popular book, The Bible, And isn't there, and I didn't, you know, look it up, I'm just remembering from my, you know, childhood verse memory days that, you know, like a rich guy or a rich gal, that money, making, you know, wealth makes it, getting into heaven, they say, is like a camel going through the eye of a needle. Not to say that rich people can't be good people and that wealthy people can't get into heaven. Obviously, you know, in our faith, you know, you just accept, you know, Jesus as your savior, you go to heaven kind of deal, right? But with that said, I just thought it's interesting that the Bible really talks about when you get loaded, it's like giving you a warning that you might turn into a jerk. You, when you get loaded, you might treat other people poorly. When you have lots of money, you might step all over people. And that really is like old school. And I can't believe in this day and age that we could not check ourselves. And when we get loaded or really successful, we forget where we came from. We forget our roots, that the Bill Cosbys then go around the country delivering, actually delivering speeches, this guy did, telling young black men to pull up their pants and raise their kids. This man is like allegedly raping women. And he's going on like a tour telling young black men to pull their pants up and to, you know, be decent citizens. Really, dude?
You know, I think you've touched on a new hashtag here. It's not old school. It's Old Testament school.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Mike.
Maybe we could go there. That was brilliant. I heard that. And I was like, wow, she's got something there. It's not old school. It's Old Testament school. Did you watch, I'm shifting gears. I'm pivoting towards yesterday's government geek moment of the day for me. As I,
brilliant.
You know me, I watch these committee hearings. I'm such a geek. And I'm watching Democratic Senator Tom Udall of New Mexico, who is, he's a legacy, if you will. His dad was a senator. His brother's a senator. So we don't have royal families in this country, do we? No, but Tom Udall was questioning the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, yesterday.
And may I jump in and say, for you, this is like a soap opera. You watch this stuff religiously.
Yeah. It's if I were like one of my aunts, I'd say, I have to watch my stories today.
Yes.
I got to see my stories. Today's story is in the Senate Intelligence hearing, the Foreign Relations Committee hearing. And Mike Pompeo was being grilled. And I just think that we need to be smarter and kinder in our questioning of each other, because listen to the way Senator Udall automatically exposes his bias just in the first few seconds of this question.
Given that the president refuses to disclose his tax returns, how can you assure the American people that American foreign policy is free of his personal conflicts of interest?
A little biased, don't you think?
Yeah, and a little bit snarky.
A little snarky. And the Secretary of State notes the snark, and he gives kind of a snark back response. And then Udall fires back. Here, check this out.
Senator, I find that question bizarre.
You don't want to answer it then.
Senator,
I've been it as bizarre.
Yes, I do. I think that's indicative of my answer, Senator.
Yeah.
I've been incredibly involved in this administration's foreign policy now for some 16 months, and I have seen literally no evidence of what you are.
Well, that's what I want to ask you specifically about.
Exactly.
No,
it is an outrageous suggestion.
My friend, Senator. It is not scurrilously.
Don't you love it when they say
my friend?
I just wish one time, Angie, somebody would stand up and go, all right, this charade's over. You are not my friend.
How dare you say
that? How dare you, madam?
All right. So we've got the soap opera politics, and that's what one of my old bosses said. Angie, just so you know, like for dudes, politics, it's like soap operas. They love the drama.
Yeah, it's what we go to when we graduate from wrestling. You know, when you grow up and you realize, oh, wrestling's fake. And I'm sorry if that ruined anyone's day. But then we tend to go to something with similar villains, good side, bad side, etc. No chair throwing. Sometimes I wish there were. But yeah, politics is what you go to after you graduate from wrestling.
Well, in more drama, I think plays into the whole kneeling situation. And that, yesterday I was looking, the Ravens were reacting to the NFL's new policy on fining teams if players don't stand for the anthem and then they can stay in the locker room and blah, 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 blah. So they must stand if they're on the field or remain in the locker room. So they've got a choice. But people are just really going after each other in this. And you said this morning in a break, you said, Angie, I don't think either side truly understands the issue.
Yeah, I don't. I think both sides are arguing this incorrectly. It's not a patriotic issue. It's not a free speech issue. It's a workplace issue. You can't go to McDonald's and work at Mickey D's and wear a T-shirt that says PETA has it right. Animals are people, too. And then have like a bloody scene of a cow being butchered. Your job wouldn't let you do that. And these NFL players are working.
Right, because your job is to serve delicious, unhealthy burgers. So you can't wear a Peter shirt with a bloody cow on it saying, you know, oh, they have feelings. You're hurting them. And then like, what would you like? A French fries? Because I'm sure you don't want the hamburger after looking at my shirt. It was like when you and I for years worked for, I worked for big networks, you know, ABC and Fox and NBC, and I was on TV. I couldn't dress a certain way. I couldn't say certain things on air, even on my social media. You have to be careful what you post because you are a representative of the company you work for. And if your values or beliefs differ from theirs, then you can lose your job.
Exactly. And many companies today, my previous employer included, had a social media clause in our employment agreement where you had to accept that your social media accounts were subject to scrutiny. Oh, look, it's Friday, which means we get a faith lift with our friend on the Angie Austin and Michael Pelka program, Billy Hallowell. Angie, are you ready for Billy? Should I bring him in?
Yes, I'm always very excited when I hear the doorbell ring and peek through the hole and it's Billy Hallowell.
Well, I mean, that actually sounds creepy. That makes me sound like I'm lurking at your door.
You are.
No,
you are.
That's creepy. Everybody looks to make sure that the person doesn't, you know, have a weapon.
That's not true, Angie. Not everybody does that. Some of us have digital monitors around the perimeter where we can find out ahead of them ringing the bell.
Wait, Billy should do a story, Billy, because what you know, back in the day, like Mike's family of, you know, 17, they got excited because they had company and mom got out the cake. Now when people ring my doorbell, my kids hide. And they go,
Angie, in the 1840s though, it was really easy to just see through. I don't even know if they had door. I mean, did you even have doors and windows in your house, Mike?
No, but we were busy sweeping the dirt floor and waiting for the stagecoach to arrive with this week's newspaper.
And there you go. I mean, it was tough times in the 1840s.
It was. It was. I remember when that Morse fella came by with a wire and said, this is going to change everything. You won't need those pesky newspapers.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
Well, this was the anniversary this week of Morse and his code. And do you remember what the first Morse code message was?
I don't. Do you, Billy?
We weren't there, Angie, but Mike, yes. Were, so tell us.
It was 1844, and Samuel Morse transmitted a message. What hath God wrought?
Oh.
How about that for a weird faith lift Friday connection?
Look at that. You always have good facts in life and good faith facts. You really do.
Well, I try.
It's too bad you can't make a living like playing, you know, Jeopardy or something like that, you know?
I've tried.
Because
so
you'd be successful. Yeah.
I tried so hard to get on Jeopardy and it just didn't happen ever.
That's an episode of Jeopardy I would watch. I would.
Now let's talk, Billy. We were talking about TV in the break and different shows we watch, and I was really a fan of Roseanne this season. I wasn't a fan when it first came out, but I became a fan of the reboot, and there was a show that was on after it that called The Middle that just ended. I never watched this show, but you're saying I should have.
You should have. I mean, there's a couple of interesting things about this show. ABC did not cancel it. They chose to not continue. The show themselves, the actors, the team, they decided to stop at nine years. ABC would have given them a 10th season if they wanted it. It was one of those shows that was like a classic. It was a hit, but it was with a very specific demographic. I would imagine most of the people watching the show, a lot of them were Christians. A lot of them were conservatives. It was a show about middle America. That's why it was called The Middle, about this family called the Heck family. And it's Patricia Heaton. She plays the wife. and then there's a husband and three kids. And so over the course of 9 years, it's just their daily life. It's a sitcom of them navigating life. I would say 90% of the show, if not more, was completely safe to sit down and watch with your kids. And that was their goal. They wanted to have a moral show. And there was sort of a lesson every episode and a little voiceover at the end where Patricia Heaton would tie it all together. I actually think it's one of the best written shows ever. And I'll stand by that. I think it phenomenally written, definitely one of the best written sitcoms ever, because it had a purpose. And so it ended this week. It was very sad. My wife and I, we watched every episode over the 9 years. We were very sad to see it go, but it had a beautiful ending that tied all those wonderful lessons together.
Wow. So like a morality play each and every week.
Always, but also simple stuff, like just how hard it is to be a parent, how the chaos of life, you know, forgetting your kid's birthday. I mean, some of the things were like over the top that a lot of parents wouldn't do, but how you just cope with having a job and raising three kids and running around. And you know, I think for a lot of people, you know, they were able to sort of relate to it, you know, money troubles, stressing about things, but in a comedic way. And then these three siblings growing up, you know, the fighting, the just and the quirkiness. Every character was so good in the show. The kids were really quirky. One of them had this brick, the youngest in the show, had this whisper. So like every time he'd say something, he would look down to the floor and whisper the last word of what he said. And it became like a just one of the things about the show. But we actually had a chance at PureFlix on our show, Pure Talk. We sat down with Atticus Schaefer, and he's 19 years old. He plays the youngest on the show, and had a chance to ask him about his life and his faith. And the interesting thing is there are a number of Christians on the show, actors who are Christians.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, and Patricia as well.
Exactly, Patricia. And also some of the other cast members and crew, which it just sort of happened that way. But Atticus is a fascinating guy. And anybody who's interested, you can go over to insider.pureflix.com and watch our interview. But he talks a lot about why he came to faith. And I found it fascinating. But when he was 15 years old, he suffers from brittle bone disease. So he has had many surgeries. He has a hard time walking unassisted. And this guy, you know, when he was 8 years old, started starring on this show and yet has had these difficulties in his personal life. And when he hit 15, he was he's a star on a show that is doing very well on ABC. And he decides, you know, I need to make a decision. I need to either decide, am I a Christian? Am I not? And he decided to go down the path of really living as a Christian. And so it's just an amazing story and what he believes people can get from the show. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. It's not just a entertaining show. There's a lot of deeper elements to it.
It's pretty neat, you know, when you just talk about all the things involved in life. And you could make a show out of the ridiculous stuff that happens. Like my daughter learned sign language, and I was thinking this week, you know, there was the kid that was using sign language to spell out a word that starts with F that is not fun. And and I was like, wow, there's that, and the choir concert, the baseball game, the swim team, the fun meet, and my husband's volunteer hours. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, how do we navigate all this stuff? It's ridiculous. So I could see that it would make a good show.
I mean, 90% of the show is inside their house, them interacting in their house. Yeah,
that's funny.
And that's what's so great about it. It's just the typical things in life. And sometimes I think the best entertainment are the things that are reflective, even if they take it over the top, reflective of what goes on in our lives, the things you just mentioned. And I love getting a chance to sit down with actors, though, who are Christians and who have a positive worldview, because I think, you know, a lot of people go out and they act and they perform in shows and they do it because it's a paycheck and they're getting fame. People like Atticus, they see a deeper purpose to what they're doing. And I love getting to talk to those people. I think anybody who watches what he has to say, especially knowing that he's starring on the show while having rods put into his body, going through these horrific surgeries, that this is going on. He's able to make us laugh in light of what he faces in his own life. I was pretty moved by that.
Those people are inspiring. And you can see that video on the PureFlix website on the insider section. Billy, we've only got like 2 minutes left. You have interviewed Candace Cameron Bure several times, and you have a new piece on her reaction to people who mock prayer.
Yeah, you know, a couple months ago, she came when I was at FaithWire. She came to our offices and we sat down and talked about this thing that keeps coming up after every tragedy. people offer prayers, and I get it. There are people who are frustrated because they feel politicians only offer prayer after the fact. They don't do anything else, and they don't want to take any action. But the reality is most people who are offering prayer after a tragedy are praying for those who are afflicted. They're praying that God would comfort them. I think most people understand what prayer is. It's not just, yes, we'd love for bad things, you know, not to happen and to pray that shootings wouldn't happen. But God forbid when something happens, we offer prayer to people because we believe there's power in that. And so she spoke about the fact that she believes we should always start with prayer, and that action, of course, is essential, but that you start with prayer because that's where God is and that's where the power is. And then you move on and you figure out what action do we take. And, you know, this is an issue that, you know, for me, I've been thinking a lot about. I went on Fox News on Saturday and talked about it, and the reaction to the segment was really vicious from a lot of people. But I said the same thing. I said, look, you start with prayer and then action. And the book of James says, you know, faith without works is dead, right? So you have to figure out what action do you take, though. And that's where it gets complicated. But Candace had some amazing things to say on that. We actually have the podcast embedded so people could check that out. Over on our actually it's over on insider.pureflix.com. I was going to say it's on our Facebook page as well, so you could check that out at Pureflix and hear what she had to say.
Excellent.
Now, Billy, before we let you go, real quickly, the Memorial Day barbecue question: hot dog, hamburger, or chicken, or God forbid, vegetables?
Well, I don't know that we're going to have a cookout this year, but
what?
Yeah, you know,
communist.
We're going on. We're actually going to Ocean City. We're leaving for Ocean City, Maryland, for a couple days, and so it'll be nice to get away. But you know, but I would say you've got to have burgers. I mean, what's wrong with you people?
That's just the wrong answer. Wrong answer.
Oh please, Mike. What's the right answer?
Burger and hot dog, and if there's time, chicken.
You can hang up if you want, Billy.
Yeah, I would suggest you hang up now. Get on the road now.
I'm done. I can't with you, Mike.
We find him on PureFlix. Everybody knows. He's Billy Halliwell on Twitter, and he's just a proctological nuisance.
Blowing up my spot. Whatever. Yeah, and you can find me over at insider.pureflix.com.
Pack the car, honey. Billy's on his way.
You better believe it. I even washed the car, so I'm ready.
Guy. Thanks, Billy.
Thanks, Billy. Bye. Bye.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-490-9309, 800-490-9309, 800-490-9309. Call right now. That's 800-490-9309.
Angie Austin, Mike Opelka. We want to cover some serious stories, but the quirky stories catch our eye. Mike, I just want to just touch on, in Springfield, Ohio, the homeowner trying to kill weeds burns his garage down. Then you have a storm chaser who's passed away and has asked his friends to put his ashes into a tornado, which I think puts your friends and family in a little bit of danger. But we even have better stories than that, Mike, to talk about.
Well, is the storm chaser actually asking his friends and family to throw his ashes in a tornado? Or is
how else are they getting there? Who else does he think's putting them in there? Like an acquaintance? No, only someone that loves you is going to put your ashes, launch them into a twister.
All you do is put them in a mobile home manufacturing plant, and somewhere eventually your ashes will be in a tornado, because we always refer to mobile homes as tornado magnets. Isn't that what we, every time we hear about a tornado, it says, and it ripped through the mobile home park on the east side of town. It's always there. They're like attractants.
Okay, my executive producer in Los Angeles, when I worked at NBC, would tell me, find the sound bite, like after a big storm, with like that guy guy, you know, that's at the park. That's like, I couldn't believe it. Like, my whole chicken house went up and the trailer was spinning through the air.
Yeah.
You know, she always wanted like that soundbite. But by the way, this guy, that wants, you know, the storm chaser, his brother, John Sellers. So he's Jim Mad Dog Sellers, Mad Dog, because he was a storm chaser. Oh, that's terrible. So he, John Sellers, the brother, says, this is his quote, he could look at the radar and just know where the storm was headed. Sir, I did weather for about a decade. That's what the radar is for. He could look at the radar and he'd know where the storm was headed.
He was storm whisperer.
All right, I'm not making light that he passed away, okay? No. I'm making light that he's described as a Renaissance man and he wants his ashes launched into a twister. I mean, come on, that's brilliant. It reminds me last year of the plumber who wanted his ashes. The plumber that loved baseball and his friend carried his ashes from a major baseball stadium to stadium around the country, and he'd flush some of his ashes down the toilet because he's like, well, he's a plumber. That's where he felt most at home. And so I wanted to, you know, put his ashes in there. I don't know why I'm using a Southern accent today. I just am kind of goofy.
Where are your ashes going, according to your wishes? Where should we place your ashes?
Okay, my grandfather and my brother, both Bryce's, their ashes were right behind the family cabin that we no longer own. So we have to sneak on the property to deliver the family ashes. But that's probably where my dad would want his ashes. And that's probably where other family members. So right behind this beautiful cabin outside the Rocky Mountain National Park, up in the mountains into a stream. It's stunning up there. And that my great grandmother, Angel, whom I'm named after, she and her sons built that cabin.
Okay, so that's where you want yours.
Yes.
All right. No.
You?
Space.
Oh, you're so exciting. So much more interesting than I am. I love that about you. All right.
It's weird. I just want to be in a little capsule orbiting the Earth.
I do think that, actually, I might change mine. I'm going to note to self, look into Mike's option instead of mountain stream. Okay. Second grader. His letter's gone viral. This second grader was asked, and four kids in the class said the same thing, which invention do you wish was never invented? And he said the cell phone. And do you know why he said the cell phone? Because he said parents won't put the thing down. And he said he wishes the cell phone was never invented because that seems to be all his mom really cares about, is talking on the cell phone.
That's heartbreaking.
Isn't it?
But it's the honesty of this that makes it so heartbreaking. This kid didn't want to go viral. This kid didn't want to be on everybody's cell phone, but his message suddenly is. And that's also the delicious irony of this story. How many parents are reading this story and going, that's me.
I had a friend whose son died at the age of 9, and he said to me, Angie, you have a chance. You have another chance to raise, like, your kids right. I don't have another chance to raise Quentin, and I spent too much time at work. I did not spend enough time with him. So put down your iPad, put down your cell phone. So when my kids come in the room, I really try to look them in the eye and put down my device. And I had my daughter, who's in elementary, the youngest one in elementary school. I call her my 8-year-old attorney. She has actually looked me in the, like, stared at me and said, put your phone down and look me in the eye. Seriously.
This kid is the greatest. I love this. Well, that's our little Friday lesson. Even though you're not a parent, the people in your life deserve that. The place we start is at the dinner table. It's a cell-free zone unless we have a previous agreement that something has to be monitored, but it's a cell-free zone. It's not even in the room.
Good for you. You know, and you're not even a child. I mean, I know you act immature sometimes, but your wife probably does have to hide it someplace from you. But I'm proud of you for doing that. And
both ways. She's on the phone too.
And the iPad. And my dad jokes that my stepmom is on the iPad like constantly. And one of my friends who, they're both therapists, they're a man-wife team. And I found him because, not as my own therapist, I found him as a guest on the show because he wrote an article called My Wife is Having an Affair with Her iPad.
I like that. I think that's fair. You know, you mentioned it earlier in the show about my niece.
Yes.
And I have to tell you, we are 5 months into Ashley's experiment with the medical marijuana patches. She's now 12. She had a birthday since all this started. My 12-year-old niece who survived leukemia, she got it at 2. She's been in remission since she was 8, I think. But the drugs were causing all these horrible seizures. She couldn't walk without assistance. She couldn't really communicate. She had to be in a special school. And her mom, my sister, just dreamed of normalizing this kid's life. And last fall, somebody said, hey, let's get her off all these anti-seizure drugs and see if cannabis would do the same thing. And she doesn't smoke pot. She doesn't even take edibles. They give her an oil or a patch that goes on her feet. And in 5 months, Ashley has been without a grand mal seizure. She can ride her bike. Now, granted, it's a trike. It's a big trike. But she rides a bike. She walks from car to the school without assistance. Wow. And I've actually had conversations on the phone with her. It's a miracle. And the law in Illinois is about to change. It passed overwhelmingly in the House. It passed overwhelmingly in the Senate. It's on the governor's desk, and I'm hoping we'll get a signature soon. And it's called Ashley's Law.
And this patch that's on her foot, initially this all got into the media, into the news, because they said, the school said, well, we can't have her have a CBD patch or deal with any kind of medical marijuana because of the federal laws. And so I'm so proud of your family, because it's difficult to take a stand because it's a controversial topic. But again, people are starting to understand that these kids aren't getting high at school. She's getting CBDs through a patch on her foot that keeps her from having 4 months in a row no grand mal seizures.
It's life-changing. And there are now dozens of parents in Illinois and other states who've reached out to my sister and said, how did you do this? She's my little sister. My baby sister's a mouse. She is the quietest person in the world, but you cross her on her child, and that mama grizzly comes out.
Well, good for her. You know, your family's in Chicago. You were just there, and we just had some arrivals at our neck of the woods drove in from Chicago. Last night, my kids had what's called a fun meet, and grandma and grandpa were there. And, you know, they come about 4 times a year, but they don't get to see a lot of these sporting events, and my kids are in a lot of them. Well, my kids won every one of their races. They came in first, right? So grandma was like, oh, you kids, you made a statement. You're winners. And then she played We Are the Champions on her phone. And then she goes, or how about this song? Riley, this could be your walk-up song. I'm like, grandma, there's no walk-up songs at the swim meet. She goes, no, here's his walk-up song. Goes, dun, 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 dun. And I'm like, grandma, you've had a few too mojitos or whatever you're having over there. But we're all laughing. And then grandpa, like, it's tears in his eyes. And grandpa goes, kids, hope, faith, Riley. Driving 14 hours straight, like 1,000 miles. He said, I want to tell you, every second in that car was worth it just for me to see you win those races. It meant so much to me.
That's lovely. But we have to talk about grandma's choice for music. Wasn't that the music of like Darth Vader?
Star Wars, yes. Yes.
But it's like the bad guy's music. We gotta have a discussion with grandma here.
Grandma had a few too many mojitos, but boy, she's funny when she has a couple of drinks, I'm telling you. And lippy, super lippy. She's Italian. She will tell you off after a couple of Cosmos. That's what she has.
Oh, what is she? What are you, reenacting a senior scene from Sex and the City? She's drinking Cosmos and putting on the high-heeled senior sneakers.
Oh, gosh, she cracks me up.